radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Jose Altuve will play in left field for the majority of the 2025 Houston Astros season. That, per Astros manager Joe Espada today. I don't know how it's going to work. I know we're already overanalyzing what he's doing in the outfield. I know that Matt Kawahara of the Houston Chronicle had a 16-paragraph write-up about two plays that Altuve made in left field. One of them, a nice catch over the shoulder as he was on the warning track. His body hit the wall. Didn't do it too hard. Didn't get hurt. He's not dealing with some sort of elbow bruise like the Astros would say about every player that gets hurt. Elbow discomfort or something like that. Knee discomfort. Nope, none of that. He made a nice catch. But there also was a play where he was trying to make a throw home, and it was off. And it went all the way to the backstop. How is he going to do? I don't know. All you need to know is he's going to be in left field, for better or for worse. We also were talking about Lance McCullers, and I feel like the guy just gets a lot of undue grief. I feel like McCullers is somebody that deserves a little more respect and a little more empathy trying to come back from this injury. I get it. He's paid a lot of money. But just because he's paid a lot of money doesn't mean you don't like him because he's trying to come back from being injured. This is not a guy who is just completely let it go, who's given up. A text from the 832. God forbid we want a guy to do a job for what he's getting paid for. He's trying to do it. He's physically not capable of doing it. And the Astros gave out this contract. I guess most fans are always going to side with the team over the individual player. But it is the Astros' fault that they are paying Lance McCullers this money. Lance earned it with the way that he pitched to that point in his career. And it has aged horribly because of how little Lance has pitched. Should you be mad at Lance McCullers because of that, though? Should you be mad that Lance McCullers took the offer that the Astros gave him? Because it really does feel like a lot of it is from that. And I understand this other texter who says it's part of the package. He's the one who puts himself in front of the cameras a lot. Now he has to hear it. Is he supposed to just not do anything then? And is that why people are annoyed with him? Overexposure for a guy who is always injured. I mean, it could be that.
He has taken a pretty big step back now that he doesn't pitch anymore, or now that he rarely pitches. Like, he really isn't. Like you say, he doesn't do a weekly spot with a radio station anymore.
No. Honestly,
he doesn't have a podcast.
The last time I remember talking about McCullers was
he kicking it with Kunkel at one point?
Well, we've definitely played some audio from his interview that he did with Will Kunkel on Fox 26. I think that there was a moment, wasn't it in the Astros-Rangers series, wasn't there a situation where Lance McCullers was randomly one of the guys who was like leading the vanguard as the Astros and Rangers were shoving each other a little bit?
Yeah,
and some people were annoyed by that.
Wasn't he like suspended for a game that he wasn't going to pitch in?
Yeah. Hang on. Lance
McCullers.
McCullers suspended while injured. I'm trying to figure out where this is. We'll find it at some point. But yeah, I think it was in 2024. I think it was, wait, check that, 2023.
Also, it's $17 million. Like, it's not that much money, guys.
It could be worse.
That is not... Again, for reference, Jose Abreu is going to make $18 million on this year's Astros. He's made $18 million or $19 million each of the last 3 years, and he didn't get through year two. He didn't get through halfway of year two of that contract.
Yeah.
Montero is going to make $10 or $11 million
this year. They just sent them away. They sent them adrift, essentially, those two guys. And I get it. They're gone, and Lance is still here. And since we talk about Lance, when you hear his name, you're like, oh, he's injured, huh? God, the worst. Like, that's probably what happens for the most part. The people that are annoyed with Lance McCullers, you just hear him mentioned a lot, and the constant promise that he will be back someday. And okay, that can get annoying after a while, but at a certain point, dial it back. That's all I'm trying to ask for. The contracts that you should be more frustrated with, Titus Howard getting paid $20 million a year. That's a contract to be annoyed with. There are other contracts in this city. Dylan Brooks, $20 million a year?
Nah, he's worth it.
I love Dylan Brooks.
No, I'm
$20 million a year.
He's actually worth it, yes. $20 million to be a good starter for a playoff team? Like, yes.
Okay.
With where the NBA cap is right now? I think if that's what it is, we just like lose track of like... I mean, this is less of a thing in baseball, but in football and basketball where the cap just constantly goes up 10%.
So up. It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Where in baseball, it's like, it kind of stays about the same. Yeah.
I'm trying to think other contracts. Well, Fred VanVleet, clearly worth
it. Yeah, VanVleet.
$40 million a year. Yeah, clearly worth
it. VanVleet's so overpay.
They're so bad without
him. But he plays, except for the previous 10 games and maybe tonight.
Yeah, he's out tonight. He re-aggravated the same ankle injury that kept him out all this time.
For the last month.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little concerned with that he re-aggravated the injury that he had already been dealing with that kept him out all that time.
Because he like stepped on a ref's foot like the first minute of the
game. Right, yeah. It was early on. I mean, it's just complete bad luck.
Classic refs against Houston. Too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ben DeBose was on one, I bet. Ben DeBose must have been on one. So, yeah, that's one of those things where when you see Lance McCullers out there, man, we got like the most paper-thin walls, don't we? We have the most paper-thin walls. I just completely lost my train of thought because I could hear people talking through the walls.
I think there's something. It's not even like the volume of producer of the Killer Bees, Brian McDonald's voice. But there's some quality to it that it just like cuts through. It
permeates through the wall. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a riot. Anyway, look, Lance McCullers, he threw to live hitters on Saturday. Apparently it went well. We'll see what happens next for him. I feel like just dial it back a little bit because there are worse contracts to get mad about in this very city. Titus Howard should be at the top of that. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. BVB09 says, I stopped liking Lance for messing up our celebration with that stupid speech he did. He mess it up? I thought it was awesome. Ring the bleeping bell because we're the world champs. Bury me in the H. That was cool.
Again, the problem is like how he handled winning the World Series. This is a team that's expected to win 83 games this year.
Exactly. It's bizarre. From the 281, Lance was a media whore like JJ was. Whoa.
JJ Watt also often injured.
Here's the thing. If you're a pitcher, your job is to pitch once every 5 days. You're just not supposed to do anything else? I don't know. I feel like being a baseball pitcher lends itself to you actually being able to do some of these side project things without getting crap for it. Like Paul George is podcasting while he's injured. Okay, that doesn't really work out so well. But no, I don't really get that vibe with Lance McCullers. And by the way, you guys aren't going to turn down this money if you were offered it on top of your salary that you're making? Are you really going to say like, no, what I make is fine? That's the most un-American thing ever. No, I don't want more money to literally just get into a salsa shirt and be part of some sort of telenovela HEB ad. Another texter says, I'm mad at Montero too. Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
That really is the thing. It's just that the fact it's only Lance that catches it.
Lance gets it more. I think in the city, considering what he's done here.
It's like he's the one punching bag.
Yeah, and I think we should be better than that. That's all I'm asking.
It's honestly feels a little bit like a lack of creativity.
I
feel like that because it's always the same joke.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Won't be back this year. That's what I mean. That's where I'm at, too.
It's just like it's the same joke every single time.
Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in and text. And if you want to weigh in on, is Lance McCullers unfairly treated? He seems like he is closer and closer to being back out there for the Astros, though I know that might be part of the reason people get so frustrated with him. And also, Altuve will be the Astros left fielder the majority of the time, per Joe Espada. Both those things on the table. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It is really funny what the internet allows. O.J. Simpson's no longer with us. But when he got out of prison after the burglary incident in Las Vegas, the armed robbery, he immediately joined Twitter. Now it seems somebody else who, let's just say, is sus, is questionable.
I mean, literally a suspect.
Right.
At one point was a suspect.
Is on social media. Casey Anthony.
Starting a TikTok.
She started a TikTok and, okay, what's she going to talk about on the TikTok? How to get away with things? Like, What's this going to be about? What's the subject here?
Well, she says that she's a legal advocate, and she's been involved in it since 2011. Who knows what happened in 2011 that led her down this path of law?
Who's going to want her endorsement for anything?
That's a good point. Good point. I mean, is she someone that you want speaking on your behalf?
No. I mean, like anything she speaks on behalf of, you take the opposite.
Paul is innocent. Let me tell you why.
So is that
here's the, Casey Anthony?
Is that the master play here? Is that what it is? Is this some sort of like super deep psyop of sorts?
I don't think
where
it's gonna be deep.
Fair enough.
I remember enough about Casey Anthony. I don't think this is going to be.
Is this a psyop of some sort where they're putting this out there and you see her, you're inclined to disagree with her, and maybe they're going to the government of which she is now about to talk about on her TikTok. Maybe they're going to slip some bias because Casey Anthony is advocating for these things or saying that we shouldn't add these things. And they're like, actually, anything she says, I think the opposite.
You know what? Let's hear it from Casey Anthony. I hope she keeps it clean. Oh, wait, this is 3 minutes long.
It's a three minute.
We'll cut her off at some point.
Okay.
But do you want to just at least hear the beginning of this video, Paul?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Today is Saturday, March 1st, 2025. This is my first of probably many recordings on a series that I'm starting. I am a legal advocate. I am a researcher. I've been in the legal field since 2011. And in this capacity, I feel that it's necessary.
She's been in the legal field since 2011.
Casey Anthony, 2011. What was going on?
It's a good question. Interesting. 2008. That's when her toddler died.
Okay.
Hmm.
Her trial? Do you know when her trial was?
Her trial, old Casey, her trial began, I want to say, is it 2008? 2008, late October of 2008. And the trial actually got underway May of 2011.
Oh.
So that's when she became one of this. What are we doing?
That's when she got involved in the legal field.
Yeah, I honestly don't even want to play anymore. Like, just kind of get to the point, babe. She does look good. We'll give her that. But
no one ever. She was not on trial for that.
She was. Her looks were never on trial.
Just to be clear,
her looks have never been on trial. So this is the new move, I guess. Are you a disgraced person that might have killed someone close to you? Well, get on TikTok. Just get on TikTok.
They can't stop you from being on TikTok.
You're famous and you're attractive, so people are going to follow you. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she's going to start doing some of those trends like you see people do all the time.
That'd be very funny.
Like Abigail does all the time, you know? Like, oh, trend time. Here we go. I don't know. I don't understand what the trends are. They're not for me. They're for other people. They're social media influencers out there. They have to do a trend. These trend dances are all over the place. Did you know that it's happening in Nebraska's football program?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about Nebraska specifically, but this happens every once in a while where there's a video.
Matt Rhule caught his players doing TikToks in the Nebraska team facility. So he had the freshman dance between wall sits in a TikTok workout. So they were doing wall sits, and when you were done, then you had to do a TikTok dance. I can't believe the men are doing the TikTok dances.
I don't know.
Sean's holding his hands up in the air.
Shrugging. I don't know why.
Shrugging emoji, Sean here.
TikTok would not be the biggest new social media platform of the last couple of years if everyone was like me. So obviously people are enjoying something that I can't really speak for. And yes, the dancing, I don't really get it because it's like we're all doing the same dance, but this is just me doing the same dance that everyone else did.
Yeah.
Like unless something's going to go catastrophically wrong or that you're a great dancer. It has to be an extreme in one way or the other.
And I doubt that Casey Anthony's going to be a great dancer.
Well, she's a legal mind since 2011.
She certainly danced around murder charges.
She did.
So that might be because of her legal expertise and or the state of Florida. A little bit on them, too. Listen, I'm from Florida.
Oh,
I live there.
Right. I think this was Orlando.
Yeah, the worst part of it.
Oh, okay.
Near Disney World. Goodness gracious. So there you go, guys. Casey Anthony's on TikTok.
Go follow her.
Give her a follow. Wonder if she's going to...
Casey Anthony _ Substack.
I mean, what if Casey Anthony, who I'm guessing is living in Florida now, what if she just drives down the road? Casey Anthony starts covering the Astros from spring training. What does Casey Anthony think about Jose Altuve in left field? How does she think it's going? How does she think it's going?
He looks so small out there.
Oh, don't give her any ideas. Don't give her any ideas, Sean. Oh, no.
Could fit in the back of a trunk.
Stop.
Okay.
Oh, my God. This is a terrible idea. I'm sorry I even suggested it. Just completely sorry I suggested it. So we're at the point of spring training where we are keeping tabs on things basically by word of mouth from X. So guess what happened just a couple of moments ago? Cam Smith, the Astros' top prospect, just hit a bases-clearing triple to give the Houston Astros the lead in the game that they are playing right now.
There we go.
Against who? Good question.
Are they playing against like a college or something?
Miami. Here we go.
Oh, okay. Well, still not a, you know.
The pitcher that he went up against has a picture of him playing for the Marlins. So,
okay.
Cool. Cam Smith doesn't have a picture. Like, there's no picture on his profile, but per StatCast, here it is. Here's the description. Triple. Cam Smith triples on a sharp fly ball to center fielder Andrew Pintar. Kenny Gomez scores. Bryce Matthews scores. Joseph Sullivan scores. Houston win probability, 22.4%. Let's go.
He's an aircraft carrier, Paul.
You want to hear about the exit velocity?
Oh, hit me.
105.5 miles per hour. Distance, 412 feet.
What?
That's a long triple.
What?
Launch angle, 28 degrees.
Wow. Wait. He had a 400-foot triple?
A 400-foot triple.
How big is this? I guess dead center?
It must be a big park, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This is happened today. Look, there's a chance. I've said it before. Let's just do a new segment, just an improv segment here. Cam Smith, who the Astros acquired in the Kyle Tucker trade, the super prospect that they got from Chicago. I am now changing Cam Smith's odds of making the opening day roster from 4.2% to 6.9%.
Whoa. Wait, so that was that 4.20?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
4.20 to 6.90.
Okay. Okay.
Out of 100. So again, low. It's still low,
yeah,
but it's a little less low. That's pretty crazy. Cam Smith is tearing the cover off of the ball. If Cam Smith makes the opening day roster, wouldn't it make more sense to put him in left field? Just a thought. Just a thought.
Second base.
He could maybe play second base, I guess, I don't know.
I know he's big, so maybe
he's
not.
He's an aircraft carrier, right. So he might be better suited for third base.
Where is he playing today?
Third base.
Third base. Okay. They've been putting him at third a lot. If I'm Isak Paredes, I'm not liking that.
No, but I hate. Well,
I'm not loving that.
But Isak Paredes is going to be a everyday starter for the Astros, and he came along in the trade, so they're buddies. You would think they're buddies.
I don't think they're buddies.
You don't think so? Not anymore.
Because Cam Smith has never played above Double A, and Isak Paredes was a major leaguer last year, so. I don't know how often they've crossed paths. Maybe he's like, wait, so they trade for me and my replacement? This is BS. And now they keep every 2 weeks they're talking about moving me to second base, a position I've barely played.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with Cam Smith, but still looking good for Cam Smith at spring training. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. Cam Smith, does he have a shot to make the Astros opening day roster? Because he is crushing it at spring training. You also want to weigh in on Altuve in left field or Lance McCullers. If we're giving him too much grief, you can. Up next, did the Texans miss out on an opportunity this weekend? We'll discuss. Stay put.
Got something to say to Paul?
Paul Gallant, what the hell is wrong with you?
I want to hear from you. He's negative about this person, negative about that person. Come on, dude.
Join the conversation by dialing or texting the HRNP listener line. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Paul Gallant.
From the 832, did Jeff Bagwell get drunk one night and think that putting Altuve in left field was a good idea? No, this is a, I think, concerted effort by all the Astros here. And I would say that Dana Brown's leading the charge on this one, probably. Will it work out? Again, no idea. Is it disrespectful to outfielders to assume an infielder could just go out there and take an outfielder's job? These damn infielders taking my job. Could be. Sean, were you about to say something? Sorry.
I don't know. I don't think it's that. I mean, it's not disrespectful.
Not disrespectful? Okay.
No, because guess what? If you're a better fielder, you'd be playing the infield, buddy.
That's true. Probably would.
It's like tackles and guards in the NFL. Like, you only ever hear about tackles not working out, so they move to guard. Never really hear about guards not working out, so they move to tackle. It's like with our actions, we tell you which one we think is easier, which position is easier to play, and it seems like left field is definitely a corner infield, the easiest.
The easiest one, okay.
Yeah. Center field, okay. Maybe. You don't just throw anybody in center field, but left field, yeah, come on.
Yeah. It's easy left field. It's a little tiny left field for a little tiny guy.
Make sure to bring some sunflower seeds and get out there. Keep busy.
I noticed some people were observing the knuckles of Jose Altuve out there. I guess he's a little fidgety standing out in the outfield. This is what the analysis of Altuve in the outfield has come to. But I think I saw it from Sean Pendergast, where he was pointing out that Altuve is maybe someone who's going to bite down his nails all the way to the actual root, or whatever you call those. I don't know. Not much of a nail biter.
Really?
No. Do have to trim them once a week. I don't know if that's too much, too little, but I hate having fingernails. I hate it when they get to the point where, like, stuff gets stuck in them. It's disgusting. Can't deal with it. Just can't deal with it. Toenails, another story entirely. The amount of times I cut my toenails, very rare.
Wow.
They look jagged, nasty. Yeah, just got to, you know, in case I have to take someone down, guess what? Now I got some talents.
Like you're an ostrich?
Yeah.
Like
Yeah. So Deebo Samuel is now a member of the Washington Commanders. They traded a fifth-round pick for him to get him from San Francisco. Samuel, his numbers are down. Is that a byproduct of a disappointing year for the 49ers? I don't know. But when you see a trade for a fifth-round pick, it always is going to make you think that your team should have done the same thing. And I know a lot of Texans fans are looking at them and saying to themselves, oh, you got to trade for that wide receiver, even though you did last year. Because you want to trade for wide receivers. By the way, T. Higgins just got the franchise tag from the Cincinnati Bengals. That does not necessarily mean he will be a Bengal next year, but he has now been franchise tagged. Teams have until tomorrow at 3 p.m. to place the franchise tag on pending free agents. So we'll see if the Bengals are actually able to get extensions for Jamar Chase, Trey Hendrickson, among others. I'm still skeptical, but hey, at the very least, they're being less cheap than they used to be. But to bring it back to Deebo Samuel, and I already a couple of texts here. One text asks the following question and makes the following statement from the 936. Yes, the Texans are dumb for not trading a fifth round pick for Deebo Samuel. Dumb AF. I don't think it's dumb to not trade for this guy. Samuel is a fun player. The fact that he can be used as a running back and as a wide receiver is cool. I think he's the only receiver to have 20 rushing touchdowns and 20 receiving touchdowns ever. For whatever reason, whenever he is described by write-ups, like the one that I read, those write-ups always make a point of calling him a Swiss Army knife. All capitalized, too. I don't know if Swiss Army knives are such proper nouns that all three words become capitalized, but he's the Swiss Army knife of the NFL. That would be fun to have on your team. And a fifth-round pick ain't much, because who are you generally getting in the fifth round of a draft? No one is going to contribute. You might get somebody occasionally, but for the most part, I mean, you're much more likely to draft a player that you'll cut by the end of his rookie contract than you are to find somebody who is going to be a consistent starter for you. And I mean, that's just being a starter, let alone being a great player. So, fifth-round pick for Deebo Samuel makes a whole lot of sense, right? I just don't think the Texans should be continuing to trade for all the wide receivers that are available, especially if they're in their late 20s. And Samuel's 29, and the way that he plays, he is a violent player who is, I think, at his best when he's running through contact. I don't think that's going to make the offense better, especially considering where the offense was last year, where run blocking, not good, and pass blocking, not good. You got to go get an offensive lineman. Can you get one for a fifth-round pick? Probably not, but that's what I think they should be prioritizing. From the 832 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, Paul Gallant Show, a texter asks, how would the Texans afford Deebo Samuel under the cap? They would have to make a bunch of restructures happen right now. So I'm not going to explain the math to you because, first off, I'm terrible at explaining math on the fly. But also, I don't know the specific contracts that the Texans would look at and say, all right, let's retinker this one and this one and this one. Giving Derek Stingley an extension would definitely help. But it would be very, very hard for the Texans to fit a Deebo Samuel or a Brandon Ayuk, who theoretically not off the table for trade, under the cap. It would be tough. There are ways to do it, though. From the 936. On second thought, D'Amico probably knows him. If he didn't want him, then F him. I'm not sure I'm going to go say F him, but I understand that line of thinking. Okay, D'Amico worked with Deebo. If he wanted him, he would have banged the drum for him. But also remember this, that when D'Amico was in San Francisco, he was largely with the defensive side of the ball. That's not to say he never had any interactions with Deebo Samuel, but I doubt he had many. From the 713 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Texans don't need a wide receiver. They need an offensive line. Stroud couldn't get the wide receiver the ball in time. Yes, 100%. 100%. So I don't think it was a mistake that the Texans passed on trading for Deebo Samuel over the weekend. I just want everyone to relax and chill just a little bit when it comes to insert name. I know you want the big name. You want the big splash. Just remember where the big splash got you this past year. I mean, the Stephon Diggs trade worked out, and it still was a failure, which is a weird thing to say, but he looked good. He played well, but he tore his ACL, and you gave up a second-round pick for him, and now you don't have that second-round pick. Were you more likely to get more out of Stephon Diggs than you were out of the second-round pick? Sure, but now he's a free agent. He might not be coming back. Do you want to continue to just trade draft picks for wide receivers and then pay those wide receivers? Or do you want your young quarterback, who should be raising the level of play around, to get the most out of young guys that don't need to be the league's best receivers? I'd rather have the latter. Fifth round pick wouldn't have been much for Deebo Samuel, and I'm sure they could have figured out a way to make it work out under the cap at some point, though. It would probably take a while for them to get to that point, but I have no issue with the Texans passing on trading for Deebo Samuel. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. A little garbage time, and if you want to weigh in on Jose Altuve in left field, you can. Stick around.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance. Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tonight, two basketball games for your viewing pleasure. Our beloved Cougs taking on Kansas in the home finale. Kansas is so disappointing to end the year. You've also got the Rockets and Thunder. And unfortunately, in the latter game, no Fred VanVleet, who re-aggravated the ankle injury that kept him out for 12 games. So hopefully that re-aggravation is not going to lead to another two-week stretch where VanVleet's away from the team. Clearly, his absence has been very felt by the Rockets, who have been struggling of late. So, Cam Smith, Astros super prospect, nearly hit a grand slam at the Astros spring training game today against the Miami Marlins. 105.5 miles per hour, 412 feet to center field. He did knock home three runners, and they gave the Astros the lead in the top of the seventh. It's very fun to see him doing things like this because it's been a while since the Astros have had anyone that you thought of in their minor league system as potentially being awesome. Like, who was the last one? Or are we going all the way back to the beginning of this run? Yeah.
Kyle Tucker.
Tucker. I guess Tucker's the last one. Maybe Bregman to a degree. But no, it's probably like Tucker.
Hunter Brown? As a pitcher?
Yeah, but I don't think we were as excited about Brown.
No.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Jordan, when he got called up in 19, because it was a situation where it felt like every night in AAA he was hitting a home run. And so you're like, oh my God. And then he comes up and basically does that in the pros. But as far as like because best rookie season, the best rookie they have had recently, it's Jeremy Pena. Like that, he just kind of ruins the game. But as far as like anticipation,
yeah, there wasn't a lot of hype for him.
Yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, we'll see. Like, we'll see what this
guy. He's hopefully good defensively. Like that was the thought process. And you're losing Correa. So this is really the first time that we've had a young guy to get excited about in a very long time. And he's delivering. I mean, he had a two home run game and he almost did a grand slam today. It was a three run triple.
Yeah, he's been awesome. I just wonder what the plan is. There a way for him to play his way onto the major league roster? I don't know, because you look at his minor league stats and there's just not a lot of minor league stats, or not a lot of stats from double A. He played like 16 double A games or something. So this would be a quick rise through the ranks. But I mean, if he keeps smacking around spring training pitching, that is basically like double A.
If the window is always open, the Astros can't do that service time manipulation crap. They got to put him up as quickly as they possibly can. If iron sharpens iron here in H-Town, maybe more for the Texans than for the Astros. Because they had T-shirts. The Texans just had T-shirts that said that. That's why the Texans had more.
On their YouTube.
That's true. Iron sharpens iron.
I was for some reason on there.
But if the Astros are trying to make us believe that the window is always open while Jim Crane's here, this is a guy that should have a chance to get on the opening day roster.
Yeah, he should have a chance. It's just like skipping that many steps I'm kind of wary of, just because you play well for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Justin Dearden?
Yeah.
Like, he was awesome.
He had an incredible spring, yeah.
And then just never played for the Astros. Never got called up.
The first thought I have when I think of Justin Dearden
is Tyler Dearden.
Tyler Dearden.
Yes.
Second thing I think of was, he had a great spring
Awesome, that one spring. It was awesome enough that we learned his name, and then not much else.
As far as hyped players that were in the Astros minor leagues, maybe Forrest Whitley, but I don't know. Forrest Whitley's the people that are mad at Lance McCullers should be mad at him, because that's the guy who's been almost in the majors for the longest time.
Yeah, that's the thing with Whitley, is that he just never actually played in the majors. Or he did, I mean, he did like an inning last year.
Right.
But there's never that like payoff. But yeah, I mean, he was hyped. There's a lot of guys that are hyped and then never play. But as far as like guys that feel close to the majors or are gonna be on the majors one day, it really is like the guys at the very start of the run.
On YouTube, Rocky says of the Astros, this effing franchise has been hanging on the threads of Jeff Luno's work, and now all the crumbs are gone. Crane went from a great owner to being a bull bleeper. Window always open my ass. See, people like Rocky, if Cam Smith is not even given a chance to make the opening day roster, then
yeah, always
you
open
can make
my
that
ass.
Argument. Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's that open.
Not to go skip A-list. Always open my
yeah.
What was the all in? All in my ass.
Yeah, all in.
No comma.
My ass.
You needed a comma in there.
Also on Twitch, this is just going back to our last segment where we were talking about Debo Samuel. People went crazy for Casario to make moves last year when he wasn't being aggressive enough. Give him time. I think he'll make some moves, including freeing up space. Be aggressive, say some other Twitchers. All right, guys, time for a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
You know, we always talk about Gen Z and how they're different to be nice. But apparently, per CNBC, Generation Z, which is from 1997 to 2012.
Not my problem. 1996, baby.
Sean Mabes just barely...
When it's negative, I'm not.
Not a millennial.
When it's positive, I am.
You are. Generation Z are struggling with telephobia, a relatively recent phenomenon. Telephobia is a fear or anxiety around making and receiving telephone calls. They've just simply not had the opportunity, Gen Z, for making and receiving telephone calls. It is not the main function of their phones these days. They can do anything on the phone, but we automatically default to texting, voice notes, and anything except actually using a telephone for its original intended purpose, and so people have lost that skill. So they are now in colleges giving seminars to help combat telephobia, which is a real thing. The session involves practicing a series of scenarios where you have to make a phone call to make a doctor's appointment, call in sick to work, and other everyday scenarios.
I had that. What school is this? Is this a class that only football players take so they can get, get an
A? It sounds
like
it would be like, a good class.
Like it is. Listen, I see a little bit of this where it's just normally when your phone rings and you're not expecting a call, you look at it and go, oh, what is this? Like, it's just my day is about to get worse.
Yeah.
Because if it's someone you know, they're calling and they're not texting, that means it's big news, probably bad. Or it's like the bank or something. It's like some errand you have to run, or it's like the court or something. It's always something terrible. So I understand this. I wouldn't say I have a fear of it, though.
I don't either. The school where this is taking place is Nottingham College in the UK. Oh. Yeah, I know. Classic England. I will say this. There are times where I'm being called on the phone and I do not wish to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Oh, okay. Crazy.
So I say that because... I get this idea of, like, you don't want someone to call you while you're doing something specifically. And waiting for a phone call can be kind of annoying because you're waiting for it to happen at a specific time. And you're just like, well, why can't we just do it a little bit earlier? So I understand it to a degree. Like, I don't think this is the worst thing ever. But a seminar to help combat is ridiculous.
No.
The actual thing itself, I don't think. Even, the telephobia, I don't think it's that bad.
Even calling it a phobia, I'm like. You're not scared of it. It's just like, I don't know. Maybe people are scared of it. Maybe the generation. I'm used to making phone calls. I've had to memorize phone numbers at one point in my life.
I remember that.
I don't remember any of them now, except for my old home phone number.
I remember my old home phone number and my old best friend's home number.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's number and my mom's number.
I know
for
my
cell
mom's.
Phones.
I know my mom's.
By the way, wrapping up garbage time, John Cena turned heel. How about that?
Yeah. You know who else was there?
Travis Scott.
To really hammer home that these are the bad guys.
Travis Scott,
The Rock, and John Cena are the big, big bads of WWE.
What a trio.
Yeah.
Also, Shane Gillis did SNL on Saturday. Hilarious.
Okay.
Hilarious. He is so good at sketches. I mean, I understand like the stand-up comedy side of things. Some people might like him. Some people don't. I'm not a stand-up expert. But I think the guy is perhaps the greatest sketch maker there is in a world that David Chappelle no longer participates in that. So there you go, guys. That wraps up Garbage Time. I mean, that wraps up the not premiere edition of this show ever, but the first new Paul Gallant show. Big thanks to our texters, Twitchers, YouTubers, callers, and everyone else who listened. For Sean Mapes behind the glass, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!